Thank you, Ryan.
Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. Almost finished with the book of Galatians. Live as free people, not slaves. Don't substitute Sinai covenant law-keeping for Messiah. Live freely, live purely, live lovingly, live by the Spirit. On the 4th of July, Americans celebrate our independence from the control of England. The problem is that we are still not entirely free, even though we live in the United States. What I mean is not only U.S. citizens, but all peoples are under the control of dark, destructive forces. The good news is that the Messiah is the great freedom fighter. Like little David facing Goliath, Yeshua came into this world as a frail human being and single-handedly entered the conflict against the hosts of hell in order to set us free. So Paul starts off chapter 5 of Galatians. It is for freedom that Messiah has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Messiah came into this world. He fought, he suffered, he bled, he died to set us free. Messiah liberated us from the consequences we brought on ourselves by joining the rebellion of Satan and the fallen angels. Messiah set us free from their dark demonic control. He liberated us from the power of sin and the sin nature. He set us free from the control of death. He set us free from false ideologies and religious systems. Messiah set us free to be what God intended us to be, glorious creatures made in His image, free to respond to the Creator in the way that we should, sons and daughters who are free to love Him now and forever. It is for freedom that Messiah set us free. Our freedom is obviously very important to Messiah. And it should be important to us. So why would the Galatians want to re-enslave themselves? Why would they allow themselves to have a yoke put on them, restraining them, controlling them, preventing them from living as the free sons and daughters of the living God? What is this enslaving yoke? It's the demand of the Judaizers, legalists, that the Galatians be circumcised and become fully Torah observant and follow all the laws of the Sinai covenant. Paul wants them to know that Messiah came to set us free. He wants them to act on the truth and resist the demands of the Judaizers. Stand firm. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. The Lord's representative warns them in very strong terms that if they do not listen to Him, if they commit themselves to Torah observance, they will be rejecting Messiah and His redeeming efforts for them. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Messiah will be of no value to you at all. The Galatians are to pay attention. Mark my words. Not just anyone, but Paul, the Lord's representative, the one who has encountered the risen Son of God, the one who has been directed by the living Lord Himself, the apostle to the nations. He is the one telling them something very important. This is not a minor issue, a matter of one person's opinion versus that of another. The demand for circumcision, which represents a commitment to fulfill the entire Sinai covenant, means Messiah will be of no value to you at all. It means the Galatians will be nullifying Messiah and his redemptive work for them. Messiah will not be of some value to them, so that they're still okay, but the Son of God himself and everything that he has done for them will be of no value whatsoever to them. They will receive no benefit of any kind from him and his redemptive life, death, resurrection, ascension, and his ongoing eternal life. If you let yourselves be circumcised, Messiah will be of no value to you at all. So I ask you, in light of that, should Messianic Jews and other Jewish people be circumcised? I would say yes. We should be circumcised to be part of the covenant that God made with Abraham. That's our responsibility. Can Gentiles be circumcised for health reasons or for aesthetic reasons? The answer again is yes. But for religious reasons, as a sign of coming under the Sinai covenant? Absolutely not. Paul clarifies what allowing themselves to be circumcised really means. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. The Galatians are not to think that they can get away with circumcision and then picking certain laws that they like the dietary laws or the Sabbath or the Jewish holidays. No. Circumcision is a sign of the commitment to observe the entire Sinai covenant with all of its many demanding laws. Do they really want to make that commitment to that kind of demanding life, which was so different from the culture in which they were raised? Paul adds to his warning, "You who are trying to be justified by the law, made right with God by the law, have been alienated from Messiah." Everyone who tries to approach God in a legalistic way in order to be justified, to be in a right relationship with God, by commitment to Sinai covenant law keeping, will be alienated from Messiah. To be alienated from Messiah means you are alienated from him and all the amazing benefits that come from him and his life and redemptive activity. Messiah will not be your living Lord. Messiah will not be your Redeemer. Messiah will not be your Savior. Messiah will not be the mediator between you and God the Father, which means you will be alienated from God who's the source of life. You will be without God, without life, without blessing. So anyone who tries to be justified, to be in a right relationship with God by committing themselves to Sinai covenant law-keeping, will find out the exact opposite will take place. They will not be justified. God will not consider them righteous. They will not be in a right relationship with God. They will remain in a state of alienation from their Creator. Paul strengthens this already very dire warning even more. You who are trying to be justified by the law have fallen away from grace. Falling from grace. Everyone who tries to approach God and live for God in a legalistic way will fall away from grace. If you try to live for God by works, by human effort, by law-keeping, you nullify grace, God's unmerited, unearned favor. But since salvation only comes by grace, not works, if you fall away from grace, you fall away from salvation. Paul gives the alternative way of living for God. The right way of living for God, which is radically different from law-keeping and human effort-based religion. Through the Spirit, we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. Through the Spirit, we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. Our faith, which is our loyalty to God and His Word, is what makes us righteous now. And we also hope for righteousness, which means that we are sure that we will be completely righteous one day in the future when this life is over. Not because we've made a commitment to Sinai covenant law-keeping, but because we have chosen the way of faith, loyalty, not works, not law, not human effort. And because we approach God through faith, not human effort or law-keeping, and because that is what makes us righteous, that frees the Spirit of God to live in us and empower us and help us live for God. And help us be confident of living forever in a perfect relationship with the eternal God. Through the Spirit, we eagerly await, by faith, the righteousness for which we hope. So which approach to living for God will the Galatians choose? Works, human effort, law-keeping, or responding to God's grace by having a faith response to God and the good news, and continuing to live for God by faith and the empowerment of the indwelling Spirit? Those are the two choices. The Judaizers, legalists, have been demanding the Gentile Christians get circumcised. The Lord's representative helps them understand the limited value of circumcision. For in Messiah Yeshua, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. Oh, circumcision does have value for a member of the chosen people, for Jewish identity purposes, and for our part in the Abrahamic covenant. But circumcision doesn't have any spiritual value in Messiah's new covenant. It doesn't bring anyone closer to God. It doesn't bring the spiritual blessings of salvation or becoming a son or daughter of God. It doesn't bring redemption from the satanic slave market of sin and death. It doesn't bring knowing God or His will, or His plan for us and for the world. A person can be circumcised and still be very far from God, alienated from the Creator, dead in his trespasses and sins, and headed to hell. What's really important, what really counts, what really adds spiritual benefit to our lives, amazing spiritual blessings like righteousness, divine approval, salvation, closeness to God, the fullness of the Spirit, power for right living, eternal life. What really adds spiritual value to our lives is faith expressing itself through love. In Messiah Yeshua, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Our faith response to God the Father, Messiah the Son, and the Holy Spirit, our loyalty to the Word of God and the good news is what counts, adds benefit, adds value. And we can tell if our faith is genuine if it expresses itself through love. Love is a test of genuine faith, genuine loyalty, love for God, love for the Word of God, love for the people of God, especially those in Messiah's community, but also those outside the community of salvation. So, if what really adds spiritual benefit is faith expressing itself through love and not circumcision, why choose circumcision, which is a symbol for Torah observance and full Sinai covenant law keeping? It only makes sense to focus on faith expressing itself in love. Since sporting events were popular throughout the Roman world, including Galatia, Paul uses the metaphor of a race to let them know that they were no longer living the right way and were in danger of not making it to the finish line. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. They've been running a good race. They started out knowing the truth. Truth demands a proper response. Truth demands obedience, a decision to adhere to the truth. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? Our faith and our life with God must be based on truth and on obedience to the truth. The Galatians did that at first. They had been living according to the truth, but something happened to change that. Some people interfered, placing an obstacle in their path, hindering them from running the race. It was like another runner illegally cut in ahead of them, impeding them from reaching the finish line. They were no longer obeying the truth. The Galatians could be sure that those who were hindering them with legalism were not sent by God. That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. So if the Judaizers were not sent by God or operating by means of the Spirit of God, that means that something else, some other spirit, was at work in the Judaizers' legalists. To warn them further about the grave danger they were in, the rabbi uses another metaphor, not from sports, but from nature. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. Under the right conditions, all it takes is a little yeast in some dough, and it will multiply so that the entire batch becomes leavened. All it takes is a little bit of false teaching, and under the right conditions, it will spread throughout an entire community and ruin that community. Paul's confident that by teaching them in various ways, like he has, and warning them, and shocking them, and reasoning with them, he has persuaded them that they will do what needs to be done. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. So what should be done? The false teachers who are hindering them should be identified and removed from their place of influence. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. The Judaizers' legalists were undermining Paul in various ways. One of the things they may have said is that while Paul may not have demanded Torah observance before, Paul had seen the error of his ways and now agreed with the Judaizers' legalists. Paul deals with that issue right here. Brothers and sisters, if I'm still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. No, Paul has not changed his mind. He's not teaching that circumcision and Torah observance are necessary under Messiah's new covenant. How can they know that he's proclaiming the same unpopular message he always did? That all that is necessary for salvation and right living is faith in Messiah and his death and resurrection? They can know that because he's still being persecuted. Persecuted by the non-Messianic Jewish community and undermined by the Judaizers' legalists. The non-Messianic Jewish community had been persecuting the Messianic Jewish remnant in Israel. They had persecuted Paul too. In fact, they were probably even more annoyed with Paul for going to the nations and telling them to believe in the God of Israel and that Yeshua is the Messiah and that they didn't need to be circumcised or live like the Jewish people. They didn't need to convert to Judaism in the traditional way. Can you imagine the reaction of this, to this, of the non-Messianic Jewish leaders? How dare Paul, who was Gamaliel's student, do things like that? He doesn't have the right to bring Gentiles into Judaism without demanding they are circumcised. And if anyone is going to convert the Gentiles, it will be us. And it will be done the way we approve of. Paul's not doing that. He's a dangerous, false teacher. Paul must be opposed. If Paul had only compromised by requiring circumcision of the peoples of the nations and demanding that they become Jews and live like the Jewish people, the persecution may have lessened or stopped altogether. But Paul wouldn't do that. Paul couldn't do that. He couldn't compromise the message about the only way of salvation and right living coming through a crucified carpenter. And not Torah observance. Offensive as that message might be to so many. Paul was a tough man. The rabbi could say some very tough things at times. I like that. I like that because I've said some tough things about those who I feel are harming Messiah's community. Here, Paul expresses his intense dislike of the legalists who were stirring up trouble among the precious Messianic Jews and Christians in Galatia. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. That's pretty tough. Those false teaching Judaizers are so fond of circumcision, they think circumcision is so wonderful, so beneficial, let them take their own advice. Let those troublemakers go the whole way and not stop with the foreskin. Let them cut it all off. That's what he's saying. That's very tough. And kind of funny, too. So circumcision, which is a symbol of Torah observance, Sinai covenant law keeping, is definitely not the way to live. what is the right way to live? To live freely, to live purely, to live lovingly, to live by the Spirit. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Live freely. You don't need a long list of do's and don'ts, a list of rules and regulations and laws like the Sinai Covenant in order to live well. That kind of religion is enslaving. If you know Messiah, you know what he's like. You know what's important to him. You know his core values. You know his principles. You know what pleases him. You know what displeases him. Messiah is not enslaved to anyone or anything. If you get close to Messiah and look at Messiah and be like Messiah, you will live freely like Messiah. Live freely. Live purely. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Freedom doesn't mean you are free to sin. Freedom doesn't mean you are free to indulge the sinful desires of the old nature. Freedom means that God has liberated you from demonic control, from ignorance, from enslavement to the power of sin and the sin nature. And now you are free to live the way God intended human beings to live, according to his standards, according to the truth. Freedom means God-honoring living, holy living, righteous living. Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Live purely. Live lovingly. Use your freedom to serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Many human beings are unable to relate properly to others. They're insecure. They compensate for their insecurity by dominating others. They only feel good about themselves if they show in some way that they are better than others, smarter, richer. But Messiah set us free from that need to control others, to be seen as better than others. He set us free so that we can relate to others the way God designed us to relate to other human beings, with love. God created more than one human being. Messiah's community of salvation is made up of many people, which means that God designed us to live in community. Freedom does not mean that you are free to be isolated from Messiah's community, off alone by yourself, not accountable to anyone else. That's not freedom. Freedom doesn't mean that you have no obligations to the other sons and daughters of God. You do. So now that you are free to relate to others the way God intends you to relate to others, use your freedom to serve one another humbly in love. Now you are free to serve others, not just yourself. You are free to be humble, not arrogant, not selfish, not self-centered. You are free to love others, not just yourself. You are free to care for others, be generous and gracious and giving and loving to others. Use your freedom to serve one another humbly in love. And the Torah, the law, the Sinai covenant, if properly understood, really teaches the same thing. It emphasizes the importance of loving others. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. The real way to fulfill the Torah is not by keeping a long list of do's and don'ts. It's by knowing God and understanding this most important principle. Then you will be able to fulfill the law, the Sinai covenant. You will try to care about your neighbor as you care about yourself, to look out for the well-being of your neighbor as you look out for the well-being of yourself, to look after the interests of your neighbor as you look after your own interests. You won't murder him. You won't steal from him. You won't take his wife from him. You will treat him with grace, kindness, and respect. And if Christians and Messianic Jews don't humbly and lovingly serve each other, but are selfish and greedy, they will bite and devour each other and be destroyed by each other. Which, I am sad to say, happens all too frequently in too many churches and Messianic congregations. Live freely. Live purely. Live lovingly. Easily said. Not so easily done. Because we are weak. And all too often we yield to the desires of the flesh, the old nature. Yes, we have a new nature. But the old nature is still there. We can overcome the old nature and its corrupt desires if we live by the power provided by the Holy Spirit. Then we can live freely, live purely, live lovingly. Live by the Spirit. So I say, walk by the Spirit, which means live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, the old nature. For the flesh, the old nature, desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. There is a battle taking place within Christians and Messianic Jews. The flesh, the old nature, desires what is contrary to the Spirit and the new nature. And the Spirit and the new nature, what is contrary to the flesh, the old nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. The desires of the flesh, the old nature, aren't only physical. The flesh means the old nature with all of its perverse desires. Wrong physical and sexual desires, of course, but also wrong attitudes towards others and wrong thinking about truth and God and religion. Walk by the Spirit, which means live in a way that you get close to God and stay close to God. Live empowered by the Spirit, close to the Spirit, operating by the influence of the Spirit. If you do, you will have the ability to not gratify, give in to, yield to the desires of the old nature. The way to overcome the things that tempt us, the way to overcome our areas of weakness, and each one of us are weak in various areas, is not by committing ourselves to keep a long list of rules. It's by walking in the Spirit. We live in the Spirit when we get close to God and stay close to God. When we do that, we have the ability to not yield to our corrupt desires, to not give in to temptation. So how do we live by the Spirit? How do we get close to God and stay close to God? We humble ourselves. We come to God on His terms, not our terms. We understand that God is God and we are not. We make a commitment to Yeshua as Lord. Then we nurture our relationship with God by practicing the spiritual disciplines like prayer and filling our mind with the Word of God. We live by the Spirit with continual repentance. When we fail in our walk with God, which we will, when we realize that we are no longer close to God, that we have sinned, we admit it as soon as possible. We confess our sins. We thank God for the forgiveness that is available to us because of Messiah. We ask for God's grace to do better the next time we face that temptation. And the God who forgives 70 times 7 helps us get close to Him once again and walk by His Spirit once again. When we are close to God, we are thinking about Him and what He wants. And each circumstance that we face, He's right there. His Word is in our minds. His Spirit is in our hearts teaching us. And so we know what to do. Each decision we make is done with Him right there. And so we know intuitively what is the right choice. This is an entirely different and superior way of relating to God and living for God than following a list of do's and don'ts and Sinai covenant law keeping. Which is why Paul writes, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Those who are living by the Spirit have a changed relationship to the Sinai covenant. They are not under its authority like the Jewish people were before Messiah came. Instead, we have a glorious, living, close relationship with God who is continually leading us and guiding us and empowering us. Live as free people, not slaves. Do not substitute Sinai covenant law-keeping for Messiah. Live freely, live purely, live lovingly, and you can do that when you live by the Spirit. Amen. Please stand, and we'll continue with our tefillot, our prayers.